That expressions of the house of the Lord, you'll see it in the days, in the early days of Samuel with Eli and his sons, but there was no physical temple yet. But there was the presence of the Lord. So young people, I want to impress upon you. That's why you will see me, although I love a good laugh, and you know that by now. But when it comes to divine things and when it comes to the things of Christ, it's a serious matter. And when it comes to the presence of the Lord, because where the presence of the Lord, there is the house of God. Jacob, when he was dreaming and living and laying his head back, and he knew about the presence of the Lord, he felt the presence. You know what he called the place? He called the place Bethel, the house of God, just because he felt the presence of the Lord. And I want you to understand that when we come together as a company, it is a company of the house where God have every desire to dwell, because his habitation is us by the Spirit. He dwells amongst it. But I want you to take hold of the truth that this is where the presence of God is. Now, when you come to the meeting effective today, if I can ask you nicely, when you come to the meeting effective today, do not come in a casual way. Do not come as you are entering into whatever occasion you might think of. Do not come as one that is going into their class in school. Do not come into the house of God or the gathering thinking of the gathering like any other place, because it is not. We have to start taking hold of that principle and of that truth, the presence of the Lord. That if I certainly believe that the presence of the Lord is amongst the company because this is where he dwells, believe me when I tell you. Believe me when I tell you. Unless the individual, young and old alike, we start taking hold of that truth that we're going to meet the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who is God over all, the presence of God himself, we will start coming to the meetings and behaving differently. Until I reach that point. If I will meet my point, if I will not reach it by way of experience that I am in the presence of God, then I can come and do foolish stuff. Then I could come and have the phone who will take the place, the preeminent place of Christ in the meeting. Then everything else will go along. That's okay. Why? Because I don't have in my own soul the truth that this is where the presence of God is. And I want to tell you, when you are in the presence of God, things change tremendously. The outlook is different. The outlook is different. You look at things in a different way because you've been acquainted with the presence of God. Why? Because that's where the presence of God is. So the house of God is a dwelling place. The house of God is the presence of God. Let's take hold of that truth. For thou, God, seest me. He's in the present. He sees. He knows. Even when the Lord Jesus walked in the midst of the assemblies, it says, and I am the one who is walking in the midst of the seven candlesticks. He walks in the midst because that's the presence of the Lord. When I and your parents and the brethren cannot see what you are doing in the back, remember, there is one that is greater than your parents. There is one that is greater than the brethren, and that's the Lord himself. For thou, God, seest me. And if I will start taking hold of that truth, the presence of God, that God knows all things, he sees all things, and he's making assessment on all things, it will change my behavior. So the first thing is that the reason of a house, God desires to dwell. So if God desires to dwell, then the next thing that I will understand, the presence of God is there. The third thing I have to understand, that it is his house. That's a very important principle. It's his house. What it means that it is his house? It is son, look, son over his own house. That word son is his name. If you look in certain translations with the capital letter, It's the Lord Jesus as son. You know why? He is son over his house. He was making a contrast that Moses and others are faithful individuals. You and I are faithful maybe in the house of God, whatever measure we might do, because it's a line of responsibility. We're going to talk about the responsibility. But the Lord Jesus, he is son over his house, and his house is who? Is you and me. So in the present time, the house of God is the people of God. That's what the house of God is all about. So the line of privilege is that we are the body of Christ. The line of responsibility is that we are the habitation of God. But he is son over his house. Listen, listen. Please listen carefully. When the scripture says he is son over his house, that if there is one that has the right to administer everything in relationship to this house, it is him and him alone. It is him and him alone. That's why we have to be very careful when the scripture says something, that he is son over his house. He is responsible, and if I can use a language where we all might understand, and he would run it in the best way that is suitable to himself. If I can use that language, could I? Just to make it simple. So that tells me that in the house of God, I don't do whatever I want. I don't alter the thoughts of the house of God. I don't change. Listen, this is God's principle from the beginning. Don't change things that are divine. It breaks my heart to pieces when I see individuals leaving the gathering and going else places. And when they go to different places, they have taken away the truth of the body. They have taken away the truth of the house. They have taken away the truth of the priesthood. And they are wonderful. I'm not saying anything as far as their standing before God. But it breaks my heart to pieces when we are willing to give it up and go elsewhere and lose sight that he is son over his house. He does things in a way that is suitable to him. But we want to go places that are suitable to me. Well, the brethren don't do that. Well, they don't do that for a reason, you know. They don't do that for a reason. It's okay. I am sure there's no older brother that's going to tell you, don't ask this question. If you come to ask, show me the scriptural basis of how the house of God should be conducted. And we got to be prepared for these questions. Not only tell people, well, you should remain, if you should do this and you should do that, but we got to be prepared to give answers when young people will come and give us questions. But young ones, you have to be prepared to accept the answer from the Word of God. You have to be receptive to the voice of the Lord. You have to be receptive to the scriptures, what the Bible is teaching. And that's why he is son over his house. He's the administrator. He does everything according to his mind and not yours and not mine. And that's how God functions. You know that? That's how God functions. He doesn't make things suitable for me. For example, when he built the tabernacle, you know what he told Moses? Listen, Moses. I want you to build a tabernacle, but according to whose pattern? According to my pattern. According to the pattern that I give you. So don't build the tabernacle, you say. Oh, that might look nice if we put more gold here. What do you mean might look nice? He said, I want you to build the tabernacle according to my pattern. According to what I tell you. Nothing else, nothing more. When he gave us the scripture in the book of Revelation, he said, and if any man shall add or take away from what? From the scripture, that's what he wants us to know. That's all what the scripture wants to give us. Don't add to it, don't take away from it. God wants it this way. In the book of Exodus chapter 20, he was telling Moses to build an altar, and he said, listen, the altar that needs to be built, I don't want anything of man to be introduced into it. I want it this way. The house of God is the same way. He is son over his house in the sense that he administers all the rights and all the responsibility and all the work that needs to be done in that house for the house of God, for the dwelling of God, his own way. That's why we behave the way we behave. That's why we maintain a role in the assembly. In the house of God, there is an order of things. Because God has planned it so. I don't want to say to tell the young people, for the young people to think it is all the invention of the brethren. It is the brethren. God forbid, there is no brethren. There is no denomination. It is the order of God. So when it comes to the house, it is in relationship to order. There is an order of things. And that's why I'm going to tell you, I don't want to shock you, but I want to tell you, is that when you come into practical fellowship with the saints of God, okay. Okay. So when you come into practical fellowship, I don't want to raise hands. How many of you are in practical fellowship? But when you come to the practical fellowship, because he is son over his house, there's an order of things. He taught us how things need to be conducted. When you come into practical fellowship, because now you are part of that body and you are ushered into all the privileges and the responsibilities of the house of God, you are no more telling the brethren, it's my own business. Let me say that again. You don't like that, do you?